Thank you.
So these are the
story that you said during dinner.
I don't know the story I said during dinner. Or see, maybe later. I can't remember what story. Oh, you were at a different table. Okay, maybe we'll get to that later.
No, I was in the next table. Okay. So I didn't hear the story.
Okay. Would you share your 3-minute testimony?
Okay, my 3-minute testimony. When I was a little girl, I did not grow up in a Christian home, although my grandmother was a Christian and my great-grandmother was a Christian. I wasn't living in a Christian home, although my mom had accepted the Lord, but she wasn't walking with the Lord or anything. We didn't go to church or anything like that. And then one day, I grew up in Seal Beach, and one day I was riding my bike around Seal Beach, and there was a church, and they had a Vacation Bible School banner on the church, and it said, "Yay, yeah, all you children workers," and it said, "All welcome." And so I went to Vacation Bible School all by myself. And I remember, yeah, isn't that cool? God calls you. And so I remember learning John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life." And I accepted the Lord there. And I loved the Lord, and I would go to church by myself on Sunday. And my family didn't go, and so let the little kids come, you know. And now my whole family's saved, which is really cool. Yeah, God's just amazing. And but as I was growing up, the church we went to did not teach me that God's word was alive and living for today. And I thought it was for my grandma's generation because all I had was an old King James and I couldn't understand it, you know. And so I didn't read it. And so I started to walk in the way of the world and not in the way that God called us to walk. And unfortunately, I fell away from him. I was going to high school at the time. They were teaching that it's okay to be sexually active. And I believed the lie because the whole world was teaching that. And then, of course, my boyfriend was saying, "Well, if you really love me." And so at 16, I found out I was pregnant. And I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do. And I believed another lie, and I'm responsible for the death of not only my first child, but my second child. And since it's 3 minutes, I only have 30 seconds left. But anyhow, so fast forward. In my 20s, the Lord got hold of my heart again. My life was totally out of control. I'm sure I'll share a little bit more with you over the weekend. And my life was totally out of control. And God brought me to a place that he just totally healed my heart. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. And from that moment on, I did not want to hear what man had to say anymore. Man had blown it for me. And so I only wanted to know what God had to say. And so the Lord put on my heart, find a church that teaches verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And that's what I did. I ended up going to a church that I really got grounded in the word. And then from there, the Lord said, "Now I want you to teach women what I've taught you." And so, yeah, amazing, amazing testimony. 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay.
That's really good for me, by the way.
We'll learn more. Here's some more that might help.
Okay.
What is your passion?
Oh, my passion is to practically teach women and teens how to apply God's word to their life so that they can become all that God created them to be. That's my passion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know you're a missionary. So what compels you to missionary work, and why did you choose Bulgaria?
Well, Bulgaria was what God chose for me. I'm not Bulgarian. In fact, I didn't even know where Bulgaria was the first time they asked me to go. I was the director of our children's ministry at the time, and I was asked in 1993 to go and teach people how to be Sunday school teachers. And so that's what I thought God was taking me over there for. And I had to get out the globe and find out where Bulgaria was. And it's in Europe, for those of you that don't know. But I know that you have a family from Bulgaria, yes, at your church. So you probably all know. Do you all know where Bulgaria is?
Yeah.
No? Eastern. No, somebody said no. Eastern Europe, yeah. It's north of Greece and Turkey, south of Romania on the Black Sea. And then also on the other border is Yugoslavia, well, Serbia and Macedonia. So, yeah. So.
And that family will be here tomorrow.
Yay! I haven't seen them for about 9 years.
So, yeah, when we were first talking, I think you went to our website and you saw a picture of Emmy.
Yes.
And then she called me immediately.
Oh, wow.
Are the Christadis at your church?
In fact, Emmy led worship at our first women's retreat about 12 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Serious. Yeah. Is that like so cool? Is it a small world or what?
Wow.
God's good. Wow.
Tell us about your family and their involvement in your missionary.
I have two. I'm married to my best friend. We've been married for 30 years. Yes. He picked me up in my backslidden days at the Red Onion, which is now, check it out, Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. It's our home church. Is God so good? I just love God's sense of humor. He just brings a full circle. And we have two daughters. They're 26 and 27. And we have two grandsons and another on the way. And my daughters first went to Bulgaria when they were 11 and 12. And then they lived in Bulgaria their high school years. And and now they're both married. They got married 5.5 years ago. They got married 3 weeks apart. I called it the summer of weddings. And then God's so good. And my family's still all involved in Bulgaria. Last October, we brought one of my daughters and son-in-law and my 17-month-old grandson went on his first missionary trip. It was a riot to Bulgaria. And then my other daughter, she's pregnant right now, and she'll be going to Bulgaria with us in November. So she'll, yeah. So everybody's still involved in Bulgaria. They love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So. Okay. You're also a writer.
Yes.
And you've written several books.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten writer's block? And how do you apply what you write about in your life?
Okay, so writer's block. I never get writer's block when I'm actually writing a book because the book is just in my heart and part of my life, and I just have to write it. I can't not write it. In fact, I have about 20 books in my head, you know, and so by the time I finally get to sit down and start writing the book, I just am so excited to write. I do get writer's block for blogs and newsletters. And I think the reason I do is because I only try to do 4 newsletters a year, and I try to keep it to 2 pages. But God is doing such amazing things that I'm like, well, what story do I write about, Lord? You know, and how do I keep it so short? And so, in fact, I need to write a newsletter this week, and I'm like, I don't know what to write about because there's so much, you know. But I need to keep it short and interesting for you. So, and then how? What was the other part?
How do you apply what you write about in your life?
Oh, my books are my life, and they're just exactly what has happened in my life and what God has taught me, and so they're actual life lessons that God has first had me write. A lot of times, unfortunately, authors will look, because they want to be published, they will look at what a publisher is looking for, and they will write a book based on what the publisher wants, but I've never done that. I write books that the Lord has put on my heart that He's already done in my own life, and it's just to teach you guys how to become all that God created you to be. And so it's totally all for my life and life application. So I live it. I lived every single part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What is your favorite or life verse?
Uh-huh.
And how has God used this verse in your life?
My life verses are found in Jeremiah. And let me turn here. Oops, sorry, dropped my pen.
That's my favorite.
Is it really? It's Jeremiah, and I don't want to misquote it because I don't quote it that often. Thank you. It's Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, and it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And God first gave me this verse when He called me to my ministry. And He had called me in 1990 to start a ministry to help women heal over the deep heart hurts that they had in their life. And I remember going, but Lord, you know, really me? Why would you call me? I don't have any education to do this. I don't have any training to do this. And so 3 years had gone by, and I started thinking, was I crazy? Did I just hear wrong from the Lord? And so I just started really praying, Lord, was this ministry from you? And if so, when am I supposed to start it? And it was at a weekend retreat that the Lord then gave me this verse. And when I was reading this, I just stopped and I said, but Lord, I don't know how to do this ministry. I don't know what to say to the women. I don't know how to minister to them. I don't have a psychology degree or something like that. And I looked back down at this passage and it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." And it was as if Jeremiah was saying what I had just said to the Lord. And I was just crying and I looked down and it says, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant." And that's what we need to do. We need to uproot and destroy all the lies of the enemy, and then we need to build and to plant with God's word. Well, how this in the most amazing way came true in my life, it wasn't just my ministry that I live out every day now, but on my very first trip to Bulgaria was 1993, and that was the year that he had given me these verses as confirmation to start my ministry. And so just about the time that it was officially going to start, that's when I was asked to go to Bulgaria to teach people how to be Sunday school teachers. So that's what I thought I was doing. You know, sometimes God uses certain things to get you to go someplace because otherwise you'd never do it. You know what I mean? And you're just like, ah! In fact, I was praying about not going to Bulgaria because I would have to come back and share at our church midweek about what God had done. And I never finished my AA degree because I would have had to take public speaking. And I'm like, I don't want to take public speaking. God uses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise, I'm telling you. And so anyhow, but I went because I knew God had called me to go. And so the first night there, I was blown away. It was during a recession. My husband has always worked in construction. So at this point, we had no money. And the Lord paid every penny for me to go to Bulgaria. And also, I had only been to Tijuana at this point once, you know, for a day, okay? So I had really never been out of the country. And so here, you know, the Lord takes me halfway around the world, and I'm setting in Eastern Europe. And we're in this outdoor cafe, and I'm just looking at the buildings going, oh my goodness. And I'm just sitting there talking to the Lord, just going, Lord, I can't believe that you brought me here. I just can't believe it. And all of a sudden, it's one of the only times I ever heard the audible voice of the Lord. I heard one word in my heart, and it was nations, nations, nations. And I started arguing with the Lord, nations, no, I'm not doing this ministry here, Lord. I came to teach people how to be Sunday school teachers. And it's like nations, nations, nations. And I knew the Lord wanted me to teach about the subject of abortion because that's what our ministry originally started at. Because of that issue in my own life, he wanted me to help women heal over that issue. But very quickly, women were coming to us and saying, abortion's not an issue, but I heard about your ministry, can I come? And we're like, of course, God's word's all sufficient, so come. And so very quickly, the ministry expanded to any issue, whether a woman's struggling with depression, anxiety, drugs, alcohol, bulimia, rape, abuse, it doesn't matter. God's word is all sufficient. But at this point, it was right when the ministry was starting, and I'm in Bulgaria, and I'm just hearing this word, nations, nations, nations. And I'm like, are you crazy? I don't even know if abortion's legal in Bulgaria, right? And he just kept putting on my heart, nations, nations. And so I knew that I needed to share with the pastor on the team. Now, the ministry was supposed to start when we got back. So I hadn't talked to men about this issue in my life yet, okay? I could maybe talk to women, but men, I'm like, Lord, you want me to what? You want me to tell my pastor? You know, the assistant pastor, the senior pastor had already known about it because he had okayed the ministry to start. But now I have to tell the assistant pastor. So I'm like, Pastor Rick, have you ever heard about the ministry I'm starting? And he's like, no, Cherie, tell me about it. And I'm like, so I'm like, Lord, okay. So I'm telling him all about the ministry. And I said, I think the Lord's putting on my heart that somebody's going to ask a question about abortion. And so I just want you to know I'm available if that happens. And he says, well, Cherie, you have to tell the team leader. Now, we were also with another church from New Mexico. I had never met these people until we all met at the airport. So he says, you have to go tell Pastor Mike. And I'm like, Lord, so I'm walking down the middle of the street, because in Sofia, Bulgaria, the capital, it was built before cars were. And so the cars all park on the sidewalk, and many times you walk down the middle of the street. So I'm walking down, the middle of the street, and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, you want me to tell this other guy all about what I have in my past and that, you know, I'm available to do this ministry? And if you want me to do that, I have to tell him by myself, not with this team of 13 people, right? And I didn't even realize that people had separated, and the team was in front of me and behind me, and I was all by myself. And right then, Mike jumps right next to me, and he goes, "Hi, Cherie, what's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you're so funny, you know?" And so I just told him, and he goes, "Okay, I'll go back to my room. I'll read the verses you're telling me about." Well, the next night, we were called to work with a church that wasn't even on our schedule. And so we went, and pretty soon the pastors were teaching, and then they said, let's open it up to questions. And so if somebody asked a question, all three pastors would answer. They would take like 30 minutes to answer. And so right then, when Pastor Mike said, let it open to questions, I knew someone was going to ask that question. And I immediately started praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know if they talk about abortion here in Bulgaria, but I just feel that a man's going to stand up and ask this question. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give that man the perfect way to ask that question, that he won't be embarrassed. And so a man stood up and he said, in Bulgaria, most people have one child. Some have two. My wife and I have four, and she's pregnant again. What do we do? And I knew he was asking, do we abort this child? And so I was sitting there, and has your heart ever pounded so hard you thought it was going to just like pound out of your chest? Okay, that's what was happening to me. I'm just sitting there going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Now, my friend says, and this is not my personality at all, my friend says I popped out of my chair like a piece of toast because... pastors, he started teaching. See, sometimes guys don't get women's issues and it goes right over their heads, you know? And in this case, that's what happened. So this guy was teaching that, you know, it's okay to have your quiver full, that God wants you to have your quiver full. And I'm like, he's not answering the guy's question. So I popped out of my chair and I go running to the front of the church. I've never done this in my life. Would you run up to the front of the church when there's no way? So I'm like running to the front of the church and I'm going, Lord, your word says that when the Holy Spirit's moving, that it's in order. So you have to show me how to do this in order because I don't know what I'm doing. And so one of the pastors was sitting there, Pastor Rick, and I went up to him and I'm like, Rick, you have to show this first. You have to share Jeremiah. And again, it went right over his head. And he goes, Cherie, that's about the prophet Jeremiah. And I said, I know, but he's asking if he should abort this child. And he needs to hear that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And right then the light went on and he's like, okay, I'll share that verse. And then I'm like, okay, and you have to share this verse and this verse and this verse. Bible study. And right then the man said, what about abortion? And Pastor Mike looked at me and he said, let her teach. And I said, yes. And in my heart, I'm like, out of my way. You know, this is so funny. And I say, it's at that moment that the Lord just like anointed me with the gift of teaching. And I was never afraid to stand up in front of people again, because it was what God was calling me to do. And so since the pastors took so long, I answered in detail. And I also started sharing that if you know anyone who just had an abortion, don't judge them. Love them. Love them like Christ loves the church and draw them to him. There was a girl, 16 years old, in the back, and she was actually praying when I started to teach, Lord, what do you say to someone who just had an abortion? And because I answered her question, she came up to me and she was telling me, guess what? She became my translator for the next 10 years. Oh, wow. Is that amazing? It was like the Lord, yes, set up my ministry that night. Wow. And then I shared with that couple. I went up to them and they were saying that their doctor was telling them to have abortion because of her health. And I remember the enemy's like telling me, what right do you have to tell her to have this baby if she could die from this? And I'm like, no, the Lord provided every penny for me to come halfway around the world because that child's supposed to be born. And I'm going to tell them the truth because that's why God brought me here.
And so I ended up leaving part of my heart in Bulgaria. Because I saw that the people during communist time, a lot of them didn't have God's word. And they were hungry to hear the truth of God's word. Yet they didn't know it. And so that was my heart to go back every year. And I started going back every single year. And I didn't see that family again for 5 years. And it was at a very low point in my ministry that I was wondering if it was all a waste of time and a waste of finances, you know, and all of that. And I went to a different church and I looked across the room and there was that man with a 5-year-old little boy playing around his legs. And I went up to him, I said, "Do you remember me?" And he said, "How could I ever forget you?" And he says, "I teach the truth about abortion whenever I get the chance." And you know, God is amazing and he wants to lead us every step of the way. And he has a call on each one of our lives in this room. And we're going to talk about more of that this weekend. But God can even give you life verses. And when you least expect it, that life verse can become real. And so for me, my life verse, which I thought was only going to be here in America, he immediately started using me overseas too. It's amazing, amazing. So that's it in a nutshell. You're welcome. Is that the last question?
That's the last question. Very good. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have something in common.
Yes.
I would drop classes in college if I had to speak in front of them. But I did make it through.
And here she is, standing in front.
Yes.
God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, I say.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take like a